Welcome back to Techtopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have the founders of Ever Widening Circles. This is Techtopia. This episode of Technotopia is sponsored by CheapTranscription.io. CheapTranscription offers 10 cent per minute transcription using our happy robots or 85 cents per minute using our human assistants. CheapTranscription.io is cheaper and faster than everyone else. CheapTranscription.io. This episode of Technotopia is brought to you by Typewriter.plus. Typewriter.plus is a full-service editorial agency that brings amazing editors from places like the New York Times and TechCrunch to work on your writing. Need a blog post, a white paper, a presentation? The Typewriter team can write or edit anything on nearly any topic. Visit them at typewriter.plus for a free quote. That's typewriter.plus, typewriter.plus. Welcome back to Technotopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm joined by Faith Popcorn. You're a writer, you're a futurist, you're a marketing expert. I'm a huge fan. Welcome to the show, Faith.
Thank you.
This is actually kind of surreal, but it's I remember reading you as a youngster, and it's great to have you on. What have you been working on?
Well, you know, what we're hired to do for mainly Fortune 200s is to say, you know, people think I'm alone in a phone booth with a cape, but I'm not. I have a company, and we're hired to say, well, IBM or well, American Express or well, Comcast, you know, this is what the future is going to look like. We know that. We know that because, you know, just look at our website, faithpopcorn.com. You'll see 17 trends. It's like the Oculus. You can look through those and you'll know what's going to happen in the future. So we come into an assignment knowing what's going to happen, but not necessarily for this particular client. How do they leverage it? And that's our work. How do you take what's going to be happening for sure? And how do you, you know, what does that mean to your brand or to your company or, you know, whatever? And that is our work. So, for instance, I mean, like one of the old stories is we told, you know, we were hired for Kodak, you know, to say, what's the future of film, which is a perfect assignment for us. And we worked and, you know, we did interviews, what you'd expect, and interview the stakeholders, interview the consumers, and brainstormed and everything. And we came back and we always believe that you really should be able to say it like in a sentence and be able to write it on your hand if you've really done the right work behind it. And we said the future of film is digital. And they said, we asked you just in this way in Rochester with greasy hair. An old white man, they said, we asked you what the future of film is. And we said, it's digital. And they said, no, the future of film, F-I-L-M. I don't think you understood. I go, I understood. It's digital. And they go, can you please excuse us? That was it. That was it. Mm-hmm. Never heard from again. But then nobody ever heard from them again. Sure. Because it's very hard to hear the future. You know? I mean, what's the future for a Home Depot? It's going to be rentals because for millennials anyway, nobody wants to buy a home. Rentals want, I mean, millennials want experience, not mortgages. Mm-hmm. Millennials want the hole if they want to hang something on the wall, not the drill. Mm-hmm. You know, so they want to like float through burdenless. And, you know, I think we were the first to say that and then Facebook backed us up. I was so happy. 71 gender types. Mm-hmm. It's on Facebook. You know, we told this to like a very large packaged goods company, and he said, head of HR, does that mean I have to build 71 bathrooms? Mm-hmm. You know, like snarky.
Yeah, like a...
And I said, no, just one bathroom, just one that everyone can go to. He said, oh, you know, so people get really angry. They feel like it's an attack if you tell them what's going, you know, a lot of times what's going to happen. But we've had some success, but... Not those.
That's so how do you do that? How do you tell somebody who thinks
they know everything.
Thinks they know everybody by dint of their financial situation, by dint of their experience, etc. How do you tell them the bad news that film is being replaced by digital?
So my father was a criminal lawyer in New York. And he taught me how to build a circumstantial case because you cannot prove the future. So you show them You know, one of the things we do is we do backcasting, which is looking to the far future, let's say 2035, mm-hmm. and backcasting to the present. So we'll say, look, do you agree in 2035 it's going to be this, 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 this? And it has very little risk attached to it. They go, yes, yeah, I can see that. You know, we back it up and talk about technology. And we have futurists. We have 10,000 futurists all over the world and blah, blah, blah. Then we come back to the present. And we show them how that vision of the future starts now. And, you know, when I sometimes give talks, it's really fun. I tell them the future starts now, and then I make them say it. Mm-hmm. When does the future start? Into now. When does the future start? Now. So as every second, the future, we're in your past, and it's starting now. And you have to do things now that will meet your future timeline if you agree where that timeline is and what's going to happen. The toughest mm-hmm. thing in futurism is to know how fast the rollout is going to be, you know, okay. how fast. And that means you look for indicators along the path. At least you're on the right road. You know, some person from Maine said, if you don't know where you're going, every road leads there. Mm-hmm. So at least we help them, like, here's where you're going. Okay. Now let's watch the road and see how, you know, how fast it developed. You know, we just came off an assignment where we painted like the future, and we said all food will be delivered home. And we told that to P&G in 1980, by the way. They didn't care for that. But all food will be delivered home, telemedicine home, mm-hmm. Everything home, you know, education home. Nobody's going to want to go out. The air is going to be polluted. The political situation is going to be war in the street, dot, dot, dot. And they go, you got to scrub this deck. This was only last February. You got to scrub this deck and make it less apocalyptic, you know? Mm-hmm. I go, okay. I scrubbed it up a little bit, you know, presented. I said, that's better. Okay. And then COVID hit. And they called me and said, could you put all that stuff back in?
Oh, my gosh.
Because what COVID did was compress the future. Mm-hmm. It just compressed it. Because Bill Gates was talking about a virus in 2015. I mean, that's 5 years. I mean, people don't, what is it called? NIMBY? Not in my backyard.
Not in my backyard. Yeah.
Yeah. Not going to happen here. You know, China, mm-hmm. not here, but here is everywhere. I mean, obviously we're all connected, and if it's happening in one place, it's going to happen in another.
Are we creating a dichotomy in terms of humanity? People like, I guess us, let's say, and listeners who do believe in the potential for a dystopia, and those who refuse to accept it.
You know, it's so funny. I was talking to these guys that run some buildings, like kind of big buildings. And I said, how do you think it's going to go? I said, it's going to be okay. Like June, July, you know, I can see where, you know, people are paying their rent. Maybe 60%, 70%. I said, June or July? Mm-hmm. How about just being conservative in 2 years? Mm-hmm. And they said, no, let's June, July. I go, you're fucking kidding. Really? So people don't like to, they get very, very scared to look ahead. I'm doing a webinar. I'll let you know when it is. We just did it with my friend from Campbell Soup, Doug Conan, who was chairman. And I was telling you when we weren't recording, which we created the Goodness Company for Campbell's because it was such a good company, so sweet, so mm-hmm. nice, and the good triplets and everything. And so he really understands Goodness. And he's a very good person. And then a guy named, and you might want to interview him, he's very intelligent, Dr. Harold Koplowitz, who's head of the Child Mind Institute, mm-hmm. a child psychiatrist. And the name of the podcast, this particular one, is Where's My Blankie? Mm-hmm. Because everybody is looking for a blankie. You want a blankie in food. You want a blankie in people. Let me see. I don't know. Hang on. You just want to feel safe and secure. And it's getting harder. I'm just going to get rid of something. Harder and harder to do. So where's my blankie? Where's your blankie, John?
Where's my blankie? My blankie is thinking that it's not going to be so awful, I guess,
it's not going to be so awful for you because you are not a group that it's going to be awful for. Mm-hmm. Let me put it that way. You know, there's a tremendous divide. Like, well, we're working on 5G with companies, right? Mm-hmm. People haven't hit 2G.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if it wasn't for a company that, you know, like Comcast, I mean, they service those places with 2G, nothing. So I think it's going to be the great divide. And if I were on the other side, and I was kind of brought up in the street a bit on the East Village, mm-hmm. and, you know, where you learn not to look anybody, don't look anybody in the eye, you know, then mm-hmm. was, you know, gangland a bit. And certain people, and you've met them, decide they have got to get out of there. They have got to climb up. Mm-hmm. And America, I say, is still one of the places. It's not a caste system, and you can, it's not easy, but lift yourself out of that. And, you know, that's what I did, and that's what I would do if I were them. And I'm not saying it's easy, mm-hmm. but it's going to fall further and further behind down there.
Is there, and I asked Richard Florida this, is there any hope for a town like Morgantown, West Virginia? My grandmother grew up across the river from Wheeling, for example. Is there hope for those small places out in the middle of America?
Well, tell me about that place, because I don't know it, so I don't want to
So like Wheeling, for example, is pretty much in the meth belt. It's a little bit, it's there, Lancaster and all these, and all the cities up, or the towns in northern Pennsylvania, and then over into West Virginia, the Panhandle, and then in the edges of Ohio, that's the Rust Belt, or formerly the Rust Belt, and then turned into the Meth Belt, right?
Right.
So that
Meth Belt as in Methodist or methadone?
as opiates.
Opiates, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the question I've always had is, do my children ever get to recreate the joy of like running around in a wide open field out in the middle of Martins Ferry, Ohio, in the shadow of a dead steel mill, but in a town that's still kind of vibrant, that has a little store, that has a little library, that has a tax base, et cetera, et cetera. Does that still exist, or does that go away, or are we rebuilding that right now thanks to COVID, actually?
I think that's the American dream, mm-hmm. not the dream of getting, well, there are many American dreams, of course, but like in the 60s, it was 50s, 60s, it was like, you know, getting your house in Levittown that looked like everybody else and, you know, getting on the train and going to work wearing a tie and going to work at IBM, whatever. I think people are like hankering and hungering for those towns, like, you know, up here in Hudson, New York, or, you know, even above that. And I think that people have learned through this thing that maybe they don't have to live in the big, bad city. Maybe they can do their work, you know, further away. And I think a lot of people in this time are saying, is this the work I really want to do? Mm-hmm. Do I have the privilege of jumping out of it and doing something else? And you have less and less, I guess, flexibility, the more and more, you know, responsibility you have, lots of kids, but I think that little town is going to be iconic and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So it's coming back, or it never left?
It left. It left. It's coming back.
Okay.
I think it will come back. I think people take a deep sigh of relief when they walk into a town like that. And they go, really? Nobody's like yelling at me and I can go buy something. And, you know, my kid, I have my 22-year-old, she goes to Wash U in St. Louis. When she said, I keep saying, come home, you know, because we're a sixth generation New Yorkers, mm-hmm. East Village, you know, tough people.
Sure.
And she says, Mommy, when they say hello in St. Louis, they mean it. Mm-hmm. I love it here. She became a Midwesterner, right? And what did I do wrong? So, yeah.
I'm from Ohio, so I came here. I'm one of the pure products of the American Midwest. I came here and got mean, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't look too mean. You're
that.
Sweet. I think. What's it, what? I know you told me your year, but what month are you?
May.
May what?
May 10th.
I knew it. You should have made me guess. I'm May 11th.
Oh wow! Oh, see.
I knew it. You're a Taurus.
Yeah, we're both. We're both slow and steady.
No, that's... you know, Taurus, they say we're stubborn, but I say we're not. We're just right.
I think so, yeah. And we're slow to anger, but once we get there, then we're...
You can't, forget it.
Give me... I always ask this, and with you, this is kind of dangerous because it might last for... It might require another
hours.
Report. Yeah. What does the world look like in 10 years?
Well, in 10 years, we've recovered. Because I think it might take close to that. I think that in 10 years, you know, and you know better than I specifically, but technology, you know, will have really entered our workspace, our life space, our bodies, and our hearts. So, you know, there's a guy in Japan, I can send you the video if you want. He married this little, little doll. Mm-hmm. You know, she's programmed to talk, and he's so happy with her. So we're looking at robotic companions. You know, can you imagine walking through the door and, hey, John, what? Martini perfect, very dry, too hot. You know, everything perfect. Start looking at the Roomba, the vacuum cleaner, right? And then project that everything's going to be like that. So I think embedded technology is going to be, now don't shoot the messenger, but you know, people are putting chips in their fingers already to get into doors, which is so nice. I mean, first it was a keypad. I was so happy. I always lost my key. And now it's going to be like a little chip, like in years and years, that series, you know, her phone is in her hand and she's 2030. Yeah. Take a look at that. You know, it's embedded, uploaded consciousness. I think that we're going to have taken, it's not going to go back to sweet 1950s. You know, the little town you were talking about is going to be like, Disney tried to do this and they failed.
Celebration, right?
Yes. It was actually brilliant, but they couldn't pull it off. There's going to be little celebrations, like, you know, like you can go to this town and, oh, how cute, but everything's going to be so teched up. Yes, driverless cars, of course. Anybody that says there won't be driverless cars just smoking dope or living in Detroit or whatever. But no, it's just going to be a technological future. No screens, communication. And that's, I think that's what Elon Musk is doing. Neural communication with a screen. No screens, like everything on the walls, maybe small spaces that can change, you know, pods that can change. Everything that seems like cartoons, you know, is going to be here.
And that's a decade from now, or is that a little bit longer?
It's not too long.
Not too long? Okay.
No. A lot of it's happening. We're just not noticing. Mm-hmm. You know, evolution happens like little drops of, you know, we are evolving into machines. This is our time's evolution. You know how evolution, you know, was. This is our time. So, and maybe machines that can survive the decimation of the planet. Because the decimation of the planet is happening, I have to report in. And it's, well, somebody, the Times did this wonderful magazine, a horrible, wonderful, say 1978 was the last time it could be turned around. I hope that's not true. I think it might be true. So we're going to have to survive. That's what evolution is. In a colder, darker maybe place. People are buying bunkers, really, in the, you know, that rich people.
Sure.
And, you know, I think there'll be food, like, you know, big spaces where, you know, there'll be a company that stores food, right? And like you pay a monthly membership. And if anything hits, you have access to what, no more looking around for toilet paper. It's going to be. Delivered to you. Yes.
Okay.
Little guards on your shoulders, you know, that if anybody tries to attack you, you know, little things.
All right.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all right. It's not awful. It sounds just about right, I guess. I mean, we're gonna go
to war with technological wars. Technological. You can see that happen. Mm-hmm. It's so barbaric to have people go in and fight. When you can have computers go in and fight.
And your technology is the only differentiator between you and the enemy, which is kind of scary because everybody makes the same stuff at this point.
But somebody's going to, you know, somebody's going to excel, I think. And then, you know, one of the things, you know how we have all these ethical and big quotes, you know, mm-hmm. where we can't build a human, let's say, you know. But don't you know? Aren't you sure? I would bet my farm on it. I don't have a farm, but mm-hmm. if I did, that somebody's building a human.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. We're going to be able to build and program humans. Do you know, just definitely. They're already, like, they understand the genome.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then they're going to be replacement body parts.
Yeah.
I think Elon Musk is working on that too. You know, you go in for a spine, you know, a spine replacement.
So you're on the, that's almost a cyberpunk attitude where the entire world is we have replacement parts for everything. Computers, cell phones, and our spleens, I guess.
Yeah, but we won't have to make any phone calls, which is going to be great because fix itself. Does you ever try to get a tech guy on the phone? Come on.
We'll get some nanobots. Faith,
yeah.
Popcorn, this has been amazing. We went a little bit over time, but it was definitely worth it.
My pleasure. It was so much fun to meet you. I heard everybody likes you, and now I see why.
Oh, wonderful. That's
You're
great.
Lovely. Oh. You're lovely. Well, so I hope someday I get to hug you in person.
All right. We'll head out to Hudson one day when this is all over.
Good.
All right. This has been Technotopia. I'm John Biggs. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Technotopia is brought to you by Happy Fun Corp. Happy Fun Corp is a design-driven technology company in Brooklyn, New York that specializes in building mobile and web applications for startups and Fortune 500 companies. Whether it's a new mobile or web application that will help people experience the internet in a fun new way, or software that will interface with a new piece of top-secret hardware, Happy Fun Corp is always up to the challenge. Big or small, Happy Fun Corp loves building software and loves working with great people. Come build with them. HappyFunCorp.com.